Hello and welcome to Game of Thrones Off-Season. Tonight we're discussing the psychology of Game of Thrones with Dr. Haig Gungeon. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yes. Never get tired of the song. I love this tune.
Love being here. Tonight we're discussing Game of Thrones and the psychology of all the characters. And we have a doctor in studio. Before I get to him, I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. I also have Ryan Mallady with me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ryan Mallady. Happy to be here. We got some fun news and a really cool guest. Looking forward to it.
And I'm Dave Child, and I'm also here.
And as I promised, we have a doctor in studio.
Is there
tonight.
A doctor in the house?
Dr. Haig Gungeon. He graduated from Tulane Medical School and received his psychiatry training at UCLA. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
So are you a psychiatrist or a psychologist?
I'm a psychiatrist.
And what is the big difference there?
I'm a drug dealer. medication.
So psychiatrist.
Yeah. Legal drug dealer.
Legal.
So psychiatrists deal drugs and psychologists don't.
All right, I'm just curious.
If
you guys have a question for Dr. Haig Gungeon, you can call in at 424-256-1633. Again, that's 424-256-1633. We take UPMC, we take Blue Cross Blue Shield, Kaiser.
You know,
and tacos.
Just kisses from mothers.
Kisses from mothers. I'm just kidding, guys. It's free to call. Give us a ring.
Also, I'm on the chat, so feel free to chat on the live stream if you happen to be listening right now live.
Ooh. So before we get into the psychology of Game of Thrones, we're going to talk about news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
This is what's happening in the Game of Thrones world.
Tell us. If you haven't been watching for a while.
Some fan favorite characters have been seen in production fighting on the same side.
Uh-oh.
Can you guys guess who it is? We saw them last season.
Jon and Daenerys?
No.
Pretty
I mean,
clear.
I would guess that's also happening.
Is it a Lannister and a Lannister?
No, but you're close. So it's Brienne and Jaime
fighting on the same side.
Have been seen during production fighting on the same side.
I was hoping it was Hot Pie. I want Hot Pie to come back, take his hot pies, go after those whites.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
He might be there too.
He might be there.
But I'm excited about this because we thought that Jaime was going to desert Cersei. Finally, it seems like he did, at least for a period of time.
I hope so.
I still don't know how I feel about that.
I'm happy about it.
I know most people are, but I don't go with the grain a lot of times. I liked seeing Jaime fight for the baddies, you know? I don't know. Something about having a character that you can like really root for, even though he's doing the wrong thing, it's conflicting, and I love it.
Right.
Come on!
What kind of news do you have for us, Ryan?
Well, speaking of people witnessing things happening on set, there was just a few days ago, there was released some set images.
Ooh.
Were leaked.
Ooh.
From on-set filming Game of Thrones, there was a big green screen production set that was, it looked like it had to do with a White Walker army,
mm-hmm.
and you had the Night King there, and mm-hmm. you had what seemed to be a Dothraki horde as whites.
Ooh.
And that leads us to believe that the army doesn't do so great when they're traveling north to
They're mostly wearing loincloths, so it's gonna be cold.
Yeah, they didn't really.
That's gonna take most of them. They're just gonna be like, it's chilly.
Yeah, how do horses do in the snow anyway? You know,
they die, and then the whites start like
right.
riding.
Have
them.
You ever played right. Oregon Trail? Come on,
you have died of dysentery. So behind the scenes, we're looking at possible conflict between that Dothraki horde that's heading north, and you know, maybe the Night King gets a little stronger. And can use one more thing besides the Viserion, the dragon that he took down.
Yeah.
And brought back up.
The Dothraki are really good at riding horses, and they could be dead horses.
That's not going to help.
Do your skills directly translate after death, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, they become ice horses.
If you're a really good fighter in life and you come back as a white, does that mean you're a really good White Walker
the
fighter?
The dragon is still dragon-y.
He's certainly
doing dragon skills.
Still killing it at being a dragon.
He's not just being a normal lizard.
No, he's flying.
Dave,
he's blowing stuff up.
What do you got for us, news-wise?
Speaking of leaks.
Yay!
Oh, boy.
Juicy.
So this is interesting. The U.S. has formally sanctioned the hacker who leaked Game of Thrones information last year. Yes. I don't know if you guys remember this, but last year HBO was actually held up to ransom because there was a hacker who claimed he had leaked episodes and also pictures, emails, as well as people's contact info. Wow. And he tried to ransom HBO for $6 million in Bitcoin. And of course, his username was Littlefinger66.
Yes.
Because he's still a fan at heart. He's still a fan.
He just wants to rob the show and steal from the rest of us.
He's also... He also hacked on behalf of the Iranian government. He used to hack for the Iranian government, and he did this on the behest of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Uh-huh. So, wow!
So you're moving on up from the Iranian government to HBO. I mean, that's a huge leap.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it also just means they didn't go after just someone's 12-year-old son who's in grandma's basement hacking HBO, which is what I assume most hackers are.
Yeah.
My question is, you know, we asked for $6 million in Bitcoin last year, and HBO's held out this long.
Right.
Now what is it? Is it like $4?
Well, now they know who the guy is.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
So his name is
his real name.
Bazad Mistry. I'm saying it wrong because I'm a horrible American, but he's they're sanctioning him, they're going after him, so
you don't mess with our celebrities over here.
Don't
get involved in the Game of Thrones world.
No, you're gonna lose. Haven't you ever watched the show?
Right.
You start threatening people, you die. That's what happens.
And he also did leak people's like phone numbers and addresses and stuff. So
I think he worked for Cambridge Analytica.
Likely.
I'd believe it.
All right. That's enough of news for me personally. I want to throw a game at you guys.
All right.
Game time.
Game
night. Let's do it.
All right. So we're bringing the doctor into this game. Are you ready, Doc?
I'm ready.
All right. So it's the diagnosis game. I'm going to say a diagnosis, and I'm going to give some options, and you guys are going to pick the character and defend it of why you think that character has that diagnosis.
Deal.
Oh, okay.
What do I do?
You help us decide the right answer, because we're going to probably be wrong.
We might have forgot to ask, have you seen Game of Thrones?
I've seen every episode and maybe like 3 seasons twice. So yes.
That's a yes.
I want to say, though, as a doctor, these are his personal opinions as a doctor. And if you don't live in Westeros, don't apply these to your life.
Yes. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
I have some meaningful things to say.
Okay, listen.
Just not medically licensed meaningful things to say.
Yeah. Just don't come back at us if this doesn't work
for
you.
But we're saying what works for a brand does not necessarily work for you.
Right.
Same advice may not apply.
Yeah.
Okay, first diagnosis. Okay, sexual sadism disorder, sadistic personality disorder.
Mm.
Focus on the sexual sadism disorder.
Got it already, I know.
First option. Ramsay Bolton.
Done.
Second option, Joffrey Baratheon.
No.
Third option, Melisandre.
It's got to be, the sexual sadism makes it Ramsay. If it was just plain old runt everyday sadism, then it would maybe be Joffrey.
Yeah, Joffrey wasn't interested in sex at all.
I mean, Ramsay gets like a tremendous pleasure out of harming others. Doc, what do you think?
Well, I think you guys' instincts serve you correct. I think that it would be Ramsay. You know, I think sadism automatically, you don't even need to put the sexual part. It's a sexual thing.
Is it?
It is.
Is sadism always sexual?
No, it's pleasure. But, you know, certain psychologies, like Freud would say every pleasure is sex. So that's to be debated. But
Freud thinks everything is sex.
Yeah.
He's not the only one.
No.
Just kidding. Okay. Well, yes, I think Ramsay Bolton because his just general lack of remorse from others suffering. Okay, second disorder. Antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
Number one, Bran. Number two, Cersei.
Mm.
Number three, the Hound.
Ooh. Oh. Antisocial personality disorder.
What do we think?
Well, it also depends on, like, because the three-eyed raven Bran is a lot, he's a lot more emo than the no-eyed raven Bran. But I think it's the Hound. I think the Hound doesn't like to be around anyone, and he's very antisocial.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I think Cersei doesn't have an antisocial disorder. She just doesn't like people. And that's just
she wants to be in control of people.
I disagree. I think Cersei is my choice because she does a lot of things that are antisocial and that, you know, she does it to basically like gain power. But I mean, who's her friend? Who does she hang out with? At least the Hound like hangs out with Arya.
Her family.
Hang out with that that band, the Misfits, Qyburn. And the church group. I mean, he had a bunch of friends. But Cersei.
She hangs out with her brother a lot.
Oh.
Is like antisocial, does that mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I think in like common language, antisocial guys like associated with someone that doesn't like to socialize with people, right? Doesn't like someone that stays to themselves, but not, you know, not psychiatrically or psychologically. Antisocial would be someone that has basically like a pervasive disregard for right and wrong, for the feelings of well-being of others. So it would be, in this case, it would be Cersei.
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So it's not just a lonely. Because
I just thought he was like, I just want to go home and read. Because that's the Hound.
Right, right, right. Or, yeah, right. I don't know what it is.
I want to eat a chicken.
Eat what you eat.
Yeah. Go to bed.
All right. Our last diagnosis, post-traumatic stress disorder. Number one.
Everyone in Game of Thrones.
Number one, Arya. Number two, the Hound. Choice number three, Theon.
Okay, this is interesting because I feel like both Theon, I mean, Theon's obviously messed up. I'd love to hear your diagnosis. Not Theon, but Reek. He's like split personality. Like, right. But it was the second choice?
Arya, the Hound,
and the
Theon.
Hound. Well, see, the Hound, he's all messed up. From the fire, from getting his face put in the fire.
But I think it's both. I think this is a trick answer because I think it's both Theon and the Hound.
Yeah, PTSD for both of them.
Because they just suffer in different ways, but it's probably still the same disorder.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the key is disorder. You know, is it like you can have trauma. A lot of people have had trauma, whether you have PTSD. I mean, you know, the Hound, it's changed his behavior. He can't be around fire, you know.
He's afraid of it.
Reek. Maybe at one point, Reek was the one we were talking about, right?
Theon became Reek.
Yeah. You know, he's at the end of the season. He's sort of not disordered. He's like overcoming. So does he have PTSD at the end? You know, I don't know. He has like Stockholm syndrome. He had at least at one point where he was like kind of giving in and having an alliance with his oppressor, you know? And so he was sort of beaten to submission. PTSD, I mean, you could say it, but it wouldn't really be 100% of qualifying what this guy's going through.
You also have to remember Theon used his weaknesses to his benefit. He was like, please kick me in the balls because I have no more balls.
Yeah, he thought he deserved it. Yeah. He felt so guilty. He thought he deserved the pain.
But he also, that fight when balls, the guy kicks him in the balls and he's just like, ha ha, it's my superpower now.
And he did that rope-a-dope. He could endure the pain because he's been through so much suffering. He got beat up and didn't matter. You know, he's ready.
But at the same time, isn't that also what the Hound is doing? Because he's joined the Brotherhood.
Right.
And they're all about like worshiping fire and looking. He looked into the fire.
Yes, confronting their weaknesses. These are strong characters.
Yeah,
isn't that considered a type of therapy? Fear therapy, you know, where you're afraid of spiders, so you get put in a room full of spiders.
Absolutely, it's exposure therapy. Mm. You know, you get doses of exposure to whatever it is that you fear, and over time you build a tolerance.
It's, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm terrified of beautiful women.
Oh,
absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
And of, you know, steak and eggs, that too.
Right.
So if we can get me in a room just filled with those things, just to exposure therapy, I need help.
Beautiful women and steak and eggs.
He just quite wants sound like a fear.
Beautiful women covered in steak and eggs.
This
sounds like a dream you had.
No,
last
it's terrifying.
we will do dream interpretations later, Ryan. So I want Dr. Haig to sort of discuss what we wanted to talk about in regards to the characters and the supernatural element, because that's how they're different than us as humans.
Right.
Yes. I mean, if you'd like, when I was thinking about, which is a big topic, really, the psychology of Game of Thrones, I'm like, you know, to talk about human psychology is already hard enough, but, you know, to keep it practical, the difference between, I mean, that's the way I could see it, that Game of Thrones and our world is sort of their laws of physics are different. They have the supernatural existences phenomena that it really balances the power and the relationships in certain ways, and there's imbalances in things. So certain people have certain powers that make them leaders and whatever, and it affects their relationships, it affects their psyche, their emotions, their thoughts, and how they deal with things. Right. So I think it's a cool point to start with, their supernatural powers. Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about Arya's supernatural power first. It's obviously the fact that she's part of the Faceless Men, and she can change faces and then beat those characters.
That one little thing that she does.
Small little thing.
Just a little thing that she likes to do.
She inhabits the personalities, the personas of other people, and then kills people.
Yeah.
That's
she kills people.
She kills people. And
kills.
Is that psychologically damaging to take people's faces
and
then kill them?
They deserved it. It doesn't kill anyone who didn't. Did she?
She enjoys it, though. She enjoys killing people who deserve it in her eyes, right? She makes the judgment, and she you know, slits their throats, and she gets pleasure out of killing people who, in her eyes, deserve to die.
Right, right. Yes, that's true. So, I mean, what was the question? No, I'm just kidding. For her, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. I don't know if the, you know, creators thought about this, but she went through, like, a ton of trauma. She was abandoned. She was taken away from her family. And if you look at people that are traumatized, there's your sort of psychological well-being or makeup will determine how you cope with that. And a lot of times people that have like split personality disorder, like what they call dissociative identity disorder, there's a ton of trauma, you know? And so it's almost as if she has like, they're like putting this like incarnate way of like this tangible form of split personality, but she's overcoming. She's not really split. She's like almost unifying the Starks by utilizing this power. So she,
like what she did with Walter Frey,
like
basically, Frey, you know, reinforcing her.
I mean,
name.
Whether or not it's healthy, you know, I don't know. Is killing healthy? I mean,
well, not
know.
Just killing. She cut them up and baked them into a pie just so she could enjoy that moment of him eating his own family. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's not necessarily healthy mercenary vigilante justice.
But
is
she
it?
Got the power back for her family name.
I know.
That's more important because the Starks were tarnished after that, after what he did to them and he killed all of them. And so the fact that she went in there and she let everyone know, hey, Starks did this.
Look, like her archetype, like her makeup from day one was warrior. She was not supposed to be trained to be a warrior, but she was one and became one. That's how she like manifested herself. So, you know, her power, she seeks blood. That's who she is, you know? And I mean, I'll say this. Arya would never come to me for therapy because she didn't have any problems if you ask her.
Right.
You know? So she was having a great time. You know, whether or not that's good or bad, that's a moral argument. I don't know.
Yeah. It might be more philosophy than psychology. But I was thinking about how, like, what you described, that's, as we brought up sadism earlier, it sounded very sadistic, but at the same time, it's revenge. So is revenge inherently sadistic because it's taking pleasure out of pain again?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so, but it's curious to see how she'll turn out because I don't, like, sadism, someone that's like sadistic, like that's all they want, right? Like she, I think, I hope, at least the way I see it, because I like her so much, there's a greater good in her mind, you know?
And she has that list that she's working down.
Right, because she could easily like abuse that power and not even to kill. She could use that power to gain wealth, she could have made herself the queen herself and she didn't, you know, so she has values, you know, the times are different then. I mean, bloodshed's just
the times
rampant.
Yeah,
I mean,
the times were different in this fantastic
we're not
land.
In Westeros. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Cersei, who doesn't necessarily have a supernatural element to herself, but she has Qyburn. She has, who creates like the science of their time, like the wildfire, like the milk of the poppy, and the mountain.
She also has a prophecy that she's living up to this entire time, which is a very supernatural element. In a world where prophecy can be true, she is told a prophecy, and she's fulfilling it. So that's kind of this fate that she has to live up against, which is pretty negative. The prophecy is mostly negative.
It's not a helpful supernatural
No, that's got to be tough to be told at a young age that you're going to, all your kids are going to die.
At the same time, she was told she was going to be queen, so she kind of had that
but she wanted
positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But could you imagine being told your future and then it starts coming true? Like, that's got to be something's got to be going on psychologically for, you know, for
her. I won't even do those genetic things, those genetic testing things.
Okay. yeah. I really wouldn't do it.
Let me live and bless.
One time a friend of mine in high school said, you know what the last song you'll hear before you die is? And then he said, it's Mac the Knife. And then he walked away, and now I can never hear Mac the Knife all the way through. I have to, like, turn to another song.
That's a terrible
thing. Wait, how's that song go?
I'm not going to sing Mac
the Knife. I love that song, actually.
It's
Stevie
a great song.
How's it go?
I can't wait till one day I'm old and decrepit, and I'm laying in my bed, and I'm like, please, play Mac the Knife. That would be great.
Such a good song.
But until then, I'll hear another song.
Well, obviously, I want to get back to Cersei. Okay, right.
At least
and
speakers
the fact
when
that
you die.
Yeah.
Okay. She's reliant on humans, like the Golden Company that she's just purchased. Like, she doesn't have, like, a supernatural power to rely on, you know? And she, as we discussed, would rather be hated than loved.
Yes. I mean, I think so. I don't know if
people agree feared.
With that. I also
feared.
Like.
Rather be feared than loved.
So.
Feared.
Bringing up Cersei, also, I gotta ask, what's the psychology behind falling in love with your twin brother?
Asking the real questions here.
That's a good question. I think a lot of that is first of all, cultural. Spot. You know, I mean, there's still cultures today where, you know, what we would define as incest happened, and I don't think that that's necessarily like pathological. I don't think it's not something I would touch upon too much. I think there's other things within the Lannisters, within their value system, which, you know, could lead to problems,
right?
Bigger problems than just the fact that, I mean, you know, usually, I don't know.
It's also like a response to abuse, right?
Right.
Because they had a terrible father, and growing up, they kind of had some sort of emotional and sometimes physical abuse. And that's
and then
why.
Her husband.
Yeah. And so they kind of.
Right.
Oh, they had
bond,
with each other.
Bond, right. Yeah. I was actually thinking that, but then I'm like, I don't know. You know, some people might find offense to that because.
I'm not
some
saying
some
that's
people
the
might
way
find
to go.
Right. So, I mean, you know, you wonder if. Actually, I was thinking about this. You wonder, were they abused when they were younger? The funny thing about the Lannisters is, you know, Cersei is particularly the worst one. The two brothers have pretty good hearts, you know?
Yeah.
Their dad was tough with them. You know, we don't know, I can't recall much about the mom. We know she wasn't around.
I think we know Tyrion was. Yeah. I think we can fairly say he was abused.
Right.
Because Tyrion had to, for one, his first girlfriend that he loved was turned into a prostitute in front of his eyes, forced into prostitution in front of his eyes.
Right.
And
then had a relationship with his father.
Yeah, and also the father, and this was even before Shay. This was like, this was the way back when.
Are you talking about when he lost his virginity?
Yeah, and also his, like.
She was already a
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, she
That's
was.
What he found out. He found out that she never was a prostitute.
Oh.
That she was forced into prostitution only because she slept with Tyrion.
Wow.
Because Tywin is screwed up.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought Jaime paid her to have sex with him. That was the whole point. Because
I don't know.
In the books.
In the books.
It's different. Okay.
Maybe it's in the books. Maybe I'm confused.
Yeah, that's book stuff.
I have something I really want to bring up. I want to bring up whether or not you guys think that Cersei is actually pregnant and what kind of disorder that could be.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dr. Hyde?
She could just be delusional, if you're according to your theory, or she could be pregnant. Or there's a diagnosis called pseudocyesis, which is... whatever, long word. But basically, it's not just that you believe that you're pregnant, because there's a point where she like kind of like gasps and Tyrion like kind of infers that she's pregnant, because you can actually, in pseudocyesis, actually have the objective signs of being pregnant. Abdominal distension, you know, the stopping of your period and all that stuff, the actual physical signs of it. And it's not true. And usually there's, you know, the power of the mind. It can...
Right.
Influence your hormonal system and sort of emulate the pregnancy. So is she? I mean, the Lannisters. One thing you could say is that there's a learned behavior that's passed down to all of them. That is, you know, it's about money. The Lannister always pays his debts. It's always about might. If I can force my way into any situation and buy myself into any situation. And she's very much taken on that philosophy. And because of that, she's abandoned her all the people that have loved her at one point. And so has she created this delusion in herself that the one person, I'm going to make somebody that's going to love me, and is it real?
That's why is maybe possible, she had...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's why she maybe had that connection to her kids this entire time. Even Joffrey, who was a monster, she was still like, he's mine, so...
Ride or die.
We love each other.
Is it possible that this could coincide with menopause? Like, you think that she went through menopause, stopped having her period, and maybe that she's convincing herself that it's because she's pregnant?
I think she's seeing that the world is falling and crumbling against her. I think she'd be a great White Walker. That's what I think.
The Night Queen.
Okay. I want to play another game. Time out from discussion. Game time. Because you know what? I love games.
Games are great.
Okay.
I don't play games.
So during...
I eat steak and eggs.
This game, stupid. We're going to basically do a one-minute therapy sessions with a few characters from Game of Thrones.
That's
so
how it works. Therapy only needs to be 1 minute long, right?
Yes. That's all you need.
Yes.
All you
just making it quick. So I'm going to give a chief complaint and talk about my background as one of the characters to Dr. Haig. And he's going to give me some suggestions or ask me some questions. Okay. So for my character, my chief complaint is that, you know, I'm angry and I want revenge.
Okay, well, what's been going on?
What's troubling me?
Yeah, what's been troubling you? How long have you been angry for?
Pretty much as far back as I can remember. I've been very angry. I watched my sister's fiance kill my father. I was kidnapped by a man with a mutilated face. And don't take this the wrong way, but sometimes I kill people and I wear their faces.
How's that working for you? Do you like that?
Could it be?
I mean, it feels really good. It feels like I'm finally getting justice, you know?
Oh, good. So what do you want from me? It sounds like you got your angle problem under control.
I mean, do you feel like my coping skills are healthy? I mean, I feel like I'm doing well for myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and where's your family in all this?
Oh, they're scattered, but I've just reunited with some of them.
Okay, good.
Some of them are dead. Most of them are dead. The few of them are still alive. I didn't kill them.
You don't appear particularly angry right now.
No. No, never. No. Never really do I appear angry.
Well, I think you're coping quite well, given all your trauma and...
It's like, do I guess? Continue, keep wearing faces?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to guess? What? In case it's not obvious.
I think that's a good question. Do you want to see changes in your life?
Yeah.
I like the way things are going. Okay. If anything, I just want to finish my list. I didn't mention this, but I sing a little song
to
myself.
She's just here to kill you.
I have a kill list.
I don't think that's a healthy thing.
No.
But your minute is up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. My name was Arya, by the way.
Oh, what? What?
Okay, Ryan, I don't go know ahead. Do that. Go ahead, Ryan.
So, Doc, I'm in love with a woman who doesn't love me back. And also, I'm in love with her daughter, too. And I don't think she loves me back either, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could win her over. I mean, her mom's like long gone and it bums me out, but I think I can get her daughter on board.
Two questions.
Also, what I really want more than anything is everything.
Interesting. Those are tough problems to have.
Healthy problems.
I think those are pretty big problems.
I want the world.
But you know, you have a healthy ego.
Good.
May I ask, what is it that you're drawing over there?
Oh, what am I drawing yes. over here? Oh, I don't know. I was doodling. I wasn't even really thinking about it. But
Let's see. Is that you with steak and eggs?
That's
a throne of steak and eggs?
That's, I don't know if you can see, but that's me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And my ladies, mom and daughter.
So it's really on your mind.
It's me on the Iron Throne. That's what I want.
I see.
And I'm a simple guy. I just want everything.
Yeah.
I want the world.
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you love more, these two girls, women, or yourself?
Ooh.
Oh, jeez. I'd say probably at this point I love myself more. Yeah, at this point I do. But, you know, there was a point where I loved this woman more than myself, and it almost got me killed. And now that I can't have her...
You said almost, you? almost.
I did. Big almost got cut in half.
But like
by the stronger guy. I'm a little guy.
Ah,
little. I got little appendages.
Would call him Little Digits.
What should he do? Yo,
that's my rapper name, Little Digits.
Your diagnosis is narcissistic personality disorder,
good.
And the treatment is a lot of therapy.
I like that. All that right. Sounds good for me. Okay, and well, that's good.
Yeah. See you next week.
All right, Doc.
I love being narcissistic. Yes, me.
By the way, I am Littlefinger.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
That's so crazy. All right, Mr. Dave Chad, what do you got for us?
I got a big drinking problem. I got a big drinking problem, and you know, it's helped me through a lot of hard times. A lot of hard tiny box times, mm-hmm. but tiny right box. Now I have a lot of responsibility. I'm a little conflicted about some choices I feel like I'm gonna have to make coming up, but I just I don't know.
Why don't you tell me what kind of decisions? How is this drinking impacting that? What's going on here?
Well, right now I'm keeping it mostly under control, but I do love the wine. And it's always there.
Yeah.
And right now, my boss is having sex with my buddy. And we used to serve together way back when. But now they're having sex. And I'm just like, I'm starting to think they might be cousins.
Ooh.
So I'm like, I don't know if I should say something or not. And right now, I'm just kind of like, we're stuck on this boat. And I'm like... Should I say something? But I don't know.
That's a lot of tension in the workplace, man.
Sounds like it's a little bit. Are you a little jealous of your,
I mean, yeah.
Friend, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's real cool and mopey, and he seems to do the brooding thing really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I tried to brood, but it's mostly just drinking. And people think I'm funny and smart, so I got that going for me. And he's not really funny or smart. It seems like every decision he makes is terrible, but people like him, and he's good at the brood.
Interesting. You know, I think it's good to find your own path in life. Mm-hmm. What happened to the rest of your family?
I don't talk to them anymore. We're pretty. They're kind of. We had a big riff. Yes. Because I killed my dad. Ah. So
that'll do it.
Were you kind of did at it. The time?
I think, actually, you know what? I was pretty sober at the time. And then I started drinking a lot.
Yeah.
That was the best bender. It was just...
I think you might have more than a drinking problem.
Uh-huh. Mm. I'm also very short.
Oh.
I don't mind it, but other people do.
Shorter than me, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We always got along.
Dog, what can we do for him? What do you think? What has he got?
They have these shoes that you can put heels in.
I'm fine with my size.
Yeah. And
it's the drinking that might have to change.
You know, look, if you have other problems and you have drinking problems, even if your other problems are bigger, you got to get sober. You got to go. I think there's a Westeros 12 steps program.
The 12 points.
Yeah, go to the 12 points.
12-pointed barrel.
The 12-pointed barrel.
It's basically just serving at the wall.
Avoid the poppy seeds.
It's drinking all the different drinks around Westeros until you find it.
Okay, well, all right. Thanks, Doc.
Hey. I'm Tyrion.
Woo! What?
Whoa, that's so weird.
Surprise.
What?
This whole time.
That's weird.
We got problems, y'all. Jeez.
Well, I feel like that was really fun. Thanks, Doctor, for all your help. Cheers to our problems. Okay, I want to go now to Danny.
That was fun.
And thank you. I'm glad everybody had fun. Great. Danny, now, we sort of talked about this, Doc, when we were prepping for the show, about how the show sort of rewards people, the universe in this show rewards the people who they want with supernatural powers. Can you kind of talk about that? Because obviously, if Cersei had dragons, she would not use them the way Danny is.
Yes. I mean, she has probably one of the... most, at least in the battlefield, one of the at one point it was almost an absolute power. It was like the nuclear weapons of the you know, Game of Thrones world, and she was like the sole bearer of it at one point. So it was almost as if the world, the laws of nature, the higher powers, and the Game of Thrones put her in a position of if she fulfilled her destiny to be the supreme leader. She was destined that way. There is a sense of entitlement that comes along with that. And I think that one of her biggest battles psychologically has been sort of balancing that with being humble, because there's times that she's made mistakes, you know, and she's made good decisions. She's brought Tyrion along to and listened to him most of the time, or at least considered it. And so, but she is vulnerable, as we see, you know, when one of those dragons goes down. So
yeah, that's like her supernatural power, but it's unchecked.
Right.
I mean, like, there's not a force that's, you know, can put her in place, sort of. If she was Cersei and she was to use these dragons the wrong way, we'd be in big trouble.
Right. So I think that there's something sort of the higher powers, whatever they are in the world of the Game of Thrones, is putting her, rewarding in some ways that lineage. Somewhere there's somehow, somewhere, not only does she have the power, but she has the sort of leadership qualities to be able to sort of wield that power. So she's a very, you know, she's got good odds.
She's also someone who, she lost a child and as well as her husband, but that made her become the mother of dragons. So she puts all of her maternal instinct into the dragons themselves, which is that healthy, or is she just like a very fiery cat lady?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question. I think Jon Snow was questioning that himself, so we'll see. You know?
Good
Right.
I don't know.
What would be the?
But that's a very good metaphorical. Like, it's sort of a transition there, right? And I think definitely the writers are thinking about this when they're.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, we talk about this every month. What do you think is going to happen when Daenerys finds out that she is Jon Snow's aunt?
I think she's going to be down. She's not going to, she doesn't care. I don't think she's going to care.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No, no.
Something you said earlier when you were talking about incest was that there's different cultural, you know, beliefs.
Right.
And one of the things that I always bring up when everyone's like, they shouldn't get together, even though they love the Lannisters together, weirdly. But they say...
Why do you look at me when you say that?
I'm just saying.
Targaryens are like, they're always marrying, like, in within the family. That's their tradition, is to marry within the family. And granted, that kind of... that dilutes the bloodline a little bit, but now it's a little stronger on either side. So,
I mean, I think that verifies it, and you know, true love does no boundaries.
Right?
No boundaries. Is that true?
Exactly.
No, that's definitely
medical opinion.
Exactly. It's not true, but
I agree. I've been saying that every show.
That's your from diagnosis. A doctor. True love has no boundaries.
Just fall in love, and all your problems melt away.
That's not
healthy.
Why not?
Because then you're obsessed with falling in love, and then you—that's your biggest problem—is you feel like if once you find love, you'll be fulfilled, and that's not always the truth.
Yes.
What if my biggest problem is I'm seeking independence?
Then, is this in person? Like, I'm just saying.
And then I fall in love, and all of a sudden, my biggest problem is huge now.
You might need to break up with someone. That's what you're breaking up.
You know what it is.
Steak and eggs.
Is this how you break steak up with eggs? I want steak and eggs and women.
Listen, it's not you. I have a desire and for steak and eggs.
You're just the salad I come home to.
Oh, God. This has gotten so terrible. Forget all of this. Just rewind and cut out the last 5 minutes. Just fall in love. Everything will go away. It's going to be perfect.
No! Okay. Please, don't do that.
Speaking of love, Jon Snow! I love him too. So obviously his supernatural power is that he can come back from the dead and he can possibly be risen again in the future. He's destined to rule and live with Dany and be in love.
Before we move on, for just one second, I just want to say, fall in love and all your problems will be solved is Sansa season one.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just so you know, what happened to her? Joffrey.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to Jon Snow.
Again, don't listen to that part. Jon Snow. Love.
Love. Well, Jon, that coming back to life, I mean, he's a product of a supernatural. That's not actually was his supernatural power, right? That was somebody, that was...
Sure.
Melisandre.
But not everyone can just... He was chosen.
But he was chosen. You know?
That's,
so, like,
that's a lot of pressure.
That's right. Right. So when you talk about, like... prophecy, his prophecies, I mean, he is a product of like destiny, right? So I think that that's interesting. You know, if it's kind of like, I mean, people have, it happens to people in real life, right? They have a heart attack, they're dead, they get resuscitated, they come back and they have a renewed sense of purpose. His sense of purpose, I think, has become very solidified that he, you know, needs to become leader. I think it comes or whatever it is, but I think that it kind of touches upon something very interesting because he's got Targaryen genetics, right? With with Stark values, right? Because he was
very
raised,
noble,
right? And so it's almost as if like the fact that he is a Targaryen and he may be in this sort of incestuous relationship, which is actually good for the Targaryens. It's almost like the problems that they had, the Targaryens, that madness, the Mad King, whatever it was that led to that, is going to be injected with some good old Stark values, you know?
Yes.
And it's like the destiny, like the higher powers, the God of the Light or whatever wants that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if the next season is, it looks like it might be a good ending, you know? You don't know.
A marriage with love.
You also have...
Some of your problems will go away.
That'll haunt my dreams tonight. I'm just gonna have these dreams of steak and eggs. Just like, hi.
And then Elmo pops up.
This is not just love.
I'll never live that steak and eggs thing.
I also want to bring up what Jon Snow is. Jon Snow is kind of like, he had a long time. He was very sex negative. Like, he really was hated sex.
I know where to put it.
Yes. He was afraid. He had a very,
you know,
like,
nothing
oath against it.
You know nothing.
Definitely not.
He was afraid of sex until he found Ygritte. Mm-hmm. And so he's coming out of a lot of shame. He still has some shame.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I mean,
I don't know. You guys are still giggling.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go to your steak and eggs place.
You guys
place.
Brought him sex, which he calls steak and eggs. Now he's confronting it for the first time.
That's not what's happening.
You are crying.
Just the way you what was your Ygritte impression?
Yeah, so
what was that?
I won't do that again.
You know nothing.
You know nothing.
You know nothing. Don't know.
You know nothing.
No.
It just came to me. I wanted to say it that way. I can't control this.
Yeah,
it all stems from my love and steak and eggs.
Amen.
I do have a question from someone in the chat for you.
Yes.
Asking about... asking no what like advice. What is the psychology of George R. R. Martin, and Augustus on our chat is asking that.
Ooh, the writer of Game of Thrones, the books.
Because you got to remember, he's someone
who's
what's
the psychology of
the writer of these books who created this world, this fantastical world for maybe even
question.
Himself to live in. Right?
Also creates characters that we love, that he loves, that he kills off instantly.
He kills his babies. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's a wonderful question. I'll kind of skirt around it because it's not good to say something about someone you haven't met, you know.
That's very gracious of you.
So that being said, I think that like when I watch episodes, every time I see something, there's a current affair that it relates to. And I think that he has he's very insightful into human nature. And it kind of just reminds me of like art in general. Like if you want to like accentuate something, you like highlight it. And every mm-hmm. time he's highlighting something, it's sort of with like this like supernatural force, and he's drawing upon certain characteristics. I don't know how much I can get into like political things here, but
I mean, we brought up the idea that it's kind of global warming is involved,
you know. But basically, like, I'll say this about psychiatry. You know, if you give somebody a diagnosis, you give them sort of, you take away responsibility from them, you know. So you say you blame it on the problem. So a lot of times, some people are just bad, and some people are just evil, and you can blame it on a psychological problem, but that's not like, that doesn't mean there's a diagnosis. And there's a lot of people that we want to say that they have like, oh, they have some psychological problem, but there's a lot of things that he's making commentary on that, like, these things are bad. How is this happening in your real life? I think he's very in tune to human nature. His psychology, although there's a lot of murder, it's making points, it's drawing lines, and it's making you move on to the next thing, and it's making you think. And I think it's very it's brilliant.
Yeah, and maybe he's like taking his issues and problems with society and funneling them into art, which is a healthy thing to do.
I love that. I mean, I think all artists are, you know, a little troubled, and so it's escapism. Like, create a different world. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, we all do that. It's a fantasy.
Yes.
One last thing I want to say about Jon Snow is something we had discussed about him just having a good heart and good instincts and taking risks and believing people will, like, that'll help him, like, succeed and survive in this world. The fact that he does trust his instincts and his gut. Because he always does, even when people are like, don't be honest. Like, look what you cost us, especially in the finale with Cersei. But it's like the fact that he always does trust his instincts, I feel like he has been rewarded for that. I think most of the characters who have supernatural powers in this world.
Well, does he always follow his instincts, though? Because he tends to not want to be the leader. He tends to not want to be the one to kind of lead the charge, but he's forced into it. He feels he's obligated to it.
I feel like people just follow him, though. I feel like he's never like, hey, follow me, put your hands up if you're going to follow me. He just goes and does whatever he thinks is the right thing to do.
And that's why people follow him. That's why they do, because, I mean, who better can you trust someone in power or with power than someone who doesn't inherently want it?
He's beautiful and he doesn't even know it.
One more character I want to talk about before we wrap up is Bran being the three-eyed raven and being able to warg. I mean, being able to see the past is huge. Like, he's basically the secret keeper, like the truest account of memories. Like, we probably don't all remember our memories as it really happened. Like, we remember it as we want to. Yeah. So the fact that he has, like, the truest account of memories, I think, is so powerful in this world, especially as we saw what happened to Littlefinger. I mean, when he was there.
It's a damn shame. Mistrial of the century.
Oh, God.
So we went from, like, emo Bran to, like, a wise old god now, basically.
Yeah, well, he wasn't. We skipped. I feel like he's emo-y now.
He's totally emo.
Imagine, what if a parent came to you with their kid and said, my kid went off on vacation. He came back. Now he's touching trees all the time. He's saying he sees everything. He sees everything about my past, and he's never smiling.
I'd put him on medications.
Okay, cool. And that's why you're a psychiatrist and not a psychologist. Boom.
Yeah, man, it's got to be an incredible, like, burden. Right.
Yeah, but obviously, like, he has, like, we were mentioning, the resilience, that, like, that Stark psychology. It's made Arya resilient. Right. It's made him mentally resilient, so he could handle this kind of power.
So I think that goes back to that question from the chat, that, you know, George Martin is rewarding good values, you know, at least so far. And so, like, he, and again, somehow, whatever, the higher powers made it, so he lost his, he was supposed to be a warrior, right? He was being trained, Bran, and he lost all his physical sort of abilities to fight, and he was rewarded with maybe the highest form of power, which is supreme knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, sort of, again, destiny rewarding the Starks, and, it's interesting.
But it also feels like it also took away a piece of his soul. Like, it feels like he's a different person.
Yeah, he's kind of emotionless. Kind of,
doesn't he have to be, though? Because when we're talking about, like, time loops and stuff, I mean, the only reason why he started dreaming about the three-eyed raven was because he was in bed, because he was pushed out a window, and it all came full circle. It was almost meant to be, right? So it's almost like...
And also,
he has no control over his destiny. Oh, he was meant to be a paraplegic. He was meant to be the three-eyed raven. So, I mean, when you once you realize you don't have that much control over your own destiny, that everything is meant to happen.
Right.
Well, how does that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very zen. I mean, you could say that about anybody. How much control do you have of your destiny? It's very zen. And it's like sort of that philosophy where the more you know, the more knowledge you gain, the more suffering that you're aware of. And you kind of have to be zen in some ways. I mean, he's being zen by kind of being emotionless, and we'll see where that goes.
But he's also probably has a little PTSD. He has like PTSD from creating Hordor. From like that's really when he kind of went to this dark emo path, is when he realized that Hordor is the way he is because of him.
Yeah, yeah. There's a huge sense of guilt there, and that maybe has made him sort of withdraw and isolate his emotions.
Well, we have to wrap up, unfortunately, but I want to say just overall, like what we were talking about, the Starks having a good value system, it makes them be able to like confront challenges with little emotional strife. Like they're good leaders, opposite of the Lannisters, who we talked about being like materialistic. And, like, they obviously have an unhealthy value system that compromises, like, their peace of mind because all they want is power. Yeah. I mean, like you said.
Family split.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, at opposite poles. So, just in general.
That was really cool.
Thank you so much
for coming in.
Thanks for coming
in. Yeah.
This was very fun.
This was deep. Such a good discussion. Mm-hmm. Where can the fans follow you on social media, Dr. Haig Gungeon?
There's Dr. Haig, L-A,
on Twitter?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So it's at Dr. Haig, L-A.
Yeah, no spaces. Dr. H-A-I-G.
Awesome. I hear some Mac the Knife coming on.
No.
Can you teach us the psychology of dancing?
No.
This is how I die. Right now.
Wait, can you interpret what's wrong with us by our dance moves?
What's wrong with me, Doc? What's wrong with me?
Speaking of dance moves, you can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com and watch me dance with my friend Chris Fleming on the Darling Side music video. You can find it on davechild.com or go to mrdavechild on Twitter.
Awesome. Where can we find you, Ryan?
We got to end this before the song ends in our poor Dave
Child. I
got to
hear a new song.
I'm Ryan Nalotti. You can find me at Ryan Nalotti everywhere. And you can also check out a new series that I just did called My Dead Ex on go90.com.
Woo! I saw it. It's awesome and hilarious. So if you need a new show, go check
it out.
Go
binge it.
Download Go90 for free. It's an app.
Yep.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Thanks so much for joining me. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. You can join us next month. These shows, these off-season shows are once a month, the last Thursday of every month. So our next show is going to be April 26th. Mr. Dave Child's going to lead it.
Yeah, it's going to be Best Fighters and Fights of Game of Thrones. So we're going to fight about that.
Yeah,
lots
we will.
To discuss, because I definitely have an opinion about that.
We got opinions.
All right, guys.
Just remember, fall in love.
Yeah.
It'll solve all your problems.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
You know nothing.
We love you guys. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night. Same time, same place next month. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
You know nothing.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.